Our scripture today is John 17, verses 23 through 26. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Those words that you just heard are the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before they left the upper room on that evening and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You could say this is from Jesus' lips to God's ear. His concern was for them and for us. The way that he put it, that they may become completely one. Jesus knew that the world would work to split them apart. That's just the way the world is. But Jesus saw God's grace as no one else did. And he saw that grace as the unifying factor of the universe. In this gospel, you remember the very first words, right? They're words that we said this morning, in the beginning. In the beginning. God's grace is the unifying factor in the universe. I introduced you to this little book two or three weeks ago. I found it in our library. It had gone unread all these years. It is a wonderful book entitled Mary by Sholem Ash. And remember me telling you about it? He was a Jewish author who was in danger. His Jewish counterparts were not happy with him because they felt that he had converted to Christianity. He remained a devout Jew, but his understanding of Jesus, who is called Yeshua, the Hebrew name in this book, is really remarkable. Listen to this passage. This is a passage that happens the time that Jesus, at age 12, remember they took him back to Jerusalem, and he was there and he was teaching. He had taught the learned scholars, but this is before that. It's on the way to Jerusalem, and this is a novel. Okay, so I mean it is fiction, but in this novel he meets the sons of Zebedee on the trip. Who might that be? James and John, and they become his fast friends at 12 years old. And they were together. Listen to this. The boys grew still and looked with waking eyes at the night sky. And at last, Yeshua said softly, I can hear everything grow. Stillness had settled on the land. The voice of the creation sang a muted lullaby, blending in one music that subdued him of insects. The rustling of grasses, the hushed whisper of the leaves, the distant wail of wild nocturnal beasts, which echo made to sound again, the wandering motion of the stars. Yeshua heard the glimmering music of their trail in the sky. They were so large, so many, and so close together that Yeshua thought he saw spark showers, clash begotten in mid-heaven. I hear the thunder too, he said, and see the lightning, and I see all of creation as it lightens. The rabbis say there is an angel behind every leaf of grass, urging it to grow in obedience to the Lord's law, said Jacob at his side. Not to his law, but to his grace, said Yeshua. It is God's grace that makes all things grow without distinction. His love is a raiment for all. That we can hear that beautiful a description of Jesus' explanation of God's grace. And here we are, inheritors of that mission. Because God's love is what ties the universe together, and that was the church's mission. In this gospel reading where John talked about them being one, that's what it was about. That Jesus gave to his disciples on that night. That was the very night that he would be betrayed, arrested, brought before the seat of power, and finally crucified. And here we are this day, inheritors of the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples so long ago. First Christian Church Conroe. Jesus was on that night and on this night still talking to us that you might be one. What must we do? What is our response? Are we satisfied with what we're doing now? What must we do? I think we must do four things. We must, in this grand vision of God's love in which we are all to be one, we first of all must name it. And then we must claim it, and then we must pronounce it, and then we live it out right here. We must name it. You know that old saw, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Over the next several months, we are going to be meeting and making decisions and talking and discussing and praying and worrying with that notion of exactly what is our mission in this place. Where are we going? And then we must claim it. What is our particular identity in Conroe? What is our identity in light of this gospel message that you all might be one? We know that, and part of our identity in Conroe right now is of the Pumpkin Patch Church. That is not a bad thing, but that is not a complete thing. We will claim proudly being the Pumpkin Patch Church. But we must search for that identity that will draw us forward and to claim this message of love that Jesus pronounced on that evening to his disciples. And then we must pronounce it. After we do all of the planning, all of the meetings and everything that we will be going through in the next few months, it will be fun, but it will be strenuous. We will learn more about ourselves than we knew. And at the end of that time, we must pronounce it. I expect that at some point there will be a document produced. And we can look at that document and every one of us can say, yes, that's us. I recognize us in those plans. I want to see us live out those plans. Yes, that's who we are. Our message will not get out unless we actually and effectively and accurately and loudly proclaim it. One of the saints said, preach all the time, and when necessary, use words. Our preaching to Conroe must not be words on a page. It must be a message that is an acting out of God's love as proclaimed by Jesus in the Gospels. And then lastly, live it. Live it. Question. Question. Are you effectively living out your faith to the greatest extent you possibly can? If so, raise your hand and say, yay! What? I don't want to. Yeah, we want to be enthusiastic about it, but if we're honest with good old self, we would say, maybe not. If not, why not? We want to name, claim, pronounce, and live out God's love right here. In the next few months, you will be asked to take part, and I hesitate to use the word because the word sounds so small, but in a planning process that will, with God's help, propel FCCC into the future. It will be challenging. It will be fun. Let's get busy. Listen to this one more time. I in them, spoken by Jesus, and thou in me, speaking of God, that they might become perfectly one. Perfectly one. That's our task. Amen.